The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and this is the post-event show for the 2024 Miami Pro Slalom. My name's Tony Lightfoot, glad to have the benefit of your support once again. And I'll tell you what, we have another big old first-time winner on professional skiing on the Water Ski Pro Tour. It's Brando Caruso. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Tony. How about you?
Yeah, you must be on cloud nine right about now. I mean, you've had less than maybe about 90 minutes to kind of reflect a little bit upon what you've just achieved, but so far, I mean, you must be absolutely ecstatic, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Because as we know, it's a long journey, and then everything happens so fast once you're there. I'm just glad I made it on the top because it's been a long year, and I'm also getting like older.
Age never escapes any of us.
Yeah. So I need to make like those decisions because we know like water skiing, unfortunately, is not. It's hard to make it a profession, you know. So I was in between this year. Should I ski? Should I not ski? And it's funny because I started the year here in Miami. And I was kind of like struggling to train here.
So when did you start training in Miami?
I started the earliest this year, actually. Started like late March. Usually I always start like super late, you know, because it's kind of cold back home. And so I started at the beginning of March.
Okay, what's home for you? Obviously not Rochetto, but obviously closer to Roma, right?
Yeah. I went to college in Rome. And then I finished college after like COVID. And right after that, I've been around. I've been in US, I've been in Switzerland, I've been all over the place. I'm still deciding what to do with my future, but I'm glad this is a good start.
Okay, so far as your future is concerned, kind of what are you qualified to do so far as what you studied in college? I mean, are you an architect or are you an engineer or something like that or anything like that?
No, I just did a simple bachelor of 3 years in business management.
Oh, okay.
So I did few work experiences. Being in the office was kind of hard for me, you know, because I always traveled, I was sick to like, I always seek for like new experiences, new feelings. So I'm still like really deciding what to do. I feel like I'm still young, but of course the time is ticking away, and gotta make a decision soon.
You seem to be quite self-aware of how much time it's taken to actually get from a certain point to where you are right now. I mean, it hasn't exactly been the easiest of journeys, hasn't it? And I mean, case in point, I mean, you've tried to become a European slalom champion, and it was only this year that you got it, and you had to share the title.
Oh, that's for sure. You know, it was a very controversial situation, what happened there. But I mean, I wasn't like in full shape also. And after like doing 3 runoff, I was kind of dead. And when the chief judge showed up at the dock and looked at both of us, like me and Thomas, and, you know, he asked us if we wanted to stop. He's also my teammate, as I think Thomas said in an interview or I don't know, like back then. We didn't want to create any sort of drama, you know. It was
he said that to me as well with the latest podcast episode. Yeah, so I mean that seems to confirm that. But yeah, so situation, you had it. You don't want to rock the boat or cause any undue mess or anything like that, you know. So both of you decided between the two of you that, hey, let's share the title, huh?
Yeah, especially because he was my teammate and he's older than me. Which is crazy, as we know, like he's 43, he's there, he's always like getting big scores, and you know, I felt like I had to respect him in some way, you know. That was the decision I made. If I would go back, I would make the same decision. I'm just happy like I was there, I was in shape, I was skiing good. I don't really care about the final result, you know, like.
Yeah, but I mean, you're in the competition. I mean, you're pushing to be titled as like the European champion. So I mean, there must be something important to it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But we've been battling since the last, let's say, probably 4 years at the Europeans. And I don't know, it was already a win for me, even if I was sharing the podium. You know, of course you want to win. Of course you want to take the win home. But it was all the situation itself that, as we said, I just didn't want to create any sort of drama in the team.
Okay. And, I can understand that. I can understand that, certainly. So let's fast forward from that situation to where we are today. You having won your first ever Pro Tour win. Okay. Let that sink in for a moment. There are a season has had other Pro Tour winners. We had Rob Hazelwood, we had Cole McCormick, Dane Meckler, who else am I leaving out? Lucas Cornell, and then
Corey Vaughan
as well. Yeah. You know, so I mean, all of those competitors. I mean, from your perspective, being the last first time career award winner, winner of the season, you're the last one.
Yeah,
I mean, there were no more pro tournaments. You were the last one.
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of give us that perspective. I mean, why has it occurred that with these competitors and then yourself?
Wow, it's a good question. I don't know. As I said before in my interview, I was not expecting this because I couldn't train that much back home because it was cold and I had to be home for other reasons because, as we said, I can't just water ski all my life, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And by coming here in a place that I knew because I started skiing at the beginning of the year here and I was struggling with my ski, I was struggling with my setup, and it was just like a big win for myself. And I don't know, like I just, like the wind was actually strong today, and when I finished to ski, I thought it wasn't that strong, and I kind of underestimated the situation, because if you see at the scores, like I probably never seen in my career like people getting like third and fourth with 2 of 41.
Exactly. So I mean it was like a third place, and then it was like replicated all the way down to seventh, and Thomas DeGasperi, unfortunately, didn't get much of anything going on in the final round. But, you know, it goes that way sometimes. So, when you got 3.5 of 41, let's talk about that performance. Because, I mean, you were down course. I mean, you were seriously behind the eight ball on that particular effort. Anyone that's watched the webcast or will have seen it, and if you haven't watched the webcast, you can wind it back on the TWBC YouTube channel. But I mean, you could see quite clearly that Brando here wasn't exactly in the best shape, and you got as much as you can out of that situation as you could possibly do.
Yeah, honestly, it was all about my mindset in that moment. And all the weekend here, if you see even other guys, if you go, as we said, like if you see, watch the webcast, everybody was kind of like struggling with their off boys, you know, because it was just a different place. I mean, it's a nice place to ski, but it's kind of tough. And we have this wind like coming from different sides. And that's my way of skiing. A lot of people, they judge it. They think it's not right, you know. Of course, I have to work more on my off buoys. But sometimes in a tournament, I just want to like keep it defensive. And, you know, I know like if I'm not in a position to turn my off buoys, I'm not going to turn it. And I'm just going to like lean and try to get to the other buoy. And I feel like it was a good strategy today because of the conditions.
A lot of people have felt that the lines that were used during this event were a little spongy. Did you find that, or
I mean, you know, like as few years ago we only had Master Line, and it was, let's say, easier. Now like new brands are coming out, I'm not saying one rope is better than the other.
Just probably
not used to, but of course it was a little bit bungee. It was the whole situation together that didn't make this tournament easy. It was very challenging. That's why I'm even happier like to be on top in a tournament that was very tough.
Okie dokie. So you got to the dock, 3.5. You probably thought, okay, 3.5, I did my best, you know, but this isn't going to put me on the podium.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Tell us what happened next.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's what I thought right away, you know, because there's like big names after me. Will, Nate, John is skiing amazing this year.
Oh yeah, tail end of the season, he's it was extremely good.
I feel like he found his setup, he's more in shape and everything, he's doing really good. So, you know, I was like 3.5, it's probably not enough.
Yeah.
Especially when you see Nate Smith as the last skier on the dock.
Okay, so when Nate Smith was in the water and he was attempting to go with 10.25 meters with a tailwind, you went in on 13 meters, didn't you? Or no, you went in on 12. You started at 12. Yep. What was your thinking behind that initially?
Honestly, like, because as I said, I skied here a bit at the beginning of the year, and I always had good 41 coming back, and especially going down before I skied, there was that side wind, like going down, there was a side wind pushing me to my off boys, and I didn't really like that. I spoke to Sasha, I spoke to Dane, and I was like, I feel like the good strategy is to start at 35 off, and he paid out.
You know, the one thing I kind of noticed, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit. You had actually skied here before a little bit in the off season before the season truly started. Yet you still, I mean, there was a lot to be said about how the trees and the vegetation looked from the side of the lake, kind of giving you a little bit of tunnel vision. Do you still find that a little bit here with this site, even though you've trained on it on several occasions?
Yeah, for sure. I was talking to Will before. It's such a place here that it's amazing to ski, like if you get into a good rhythm, but you never really like learn. It's always different, you know, there's always a different variable. I was just like talking to him. Of course, it was the beginning of the year. I was not like in full shape, but I had this thing that I was, maybe one day I was overshooting my gates, maybe one, you know, usually when you train in a place every day, you're very consistent. Here, it's not. It's a nice place to ski. You can do like good score, but it can be very challenging too.
All right then. So, okay. So what happens next? You fly to Italy tomorrow, I take it, yeah?
No, actually, I'm going to stay here for a while, do some testing, try new skis. And
For good, I take it, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, of course, just go back home, figuring out, like, what to do for the future, and hopefully get a good training for the Worlds in Recetto.
Okay, I was about to ask you on that issue. You know, from the sounds of it, it almost sounds like you're trying to make a retirement speech before next season. But I'm glad that you mentioned Recetto in Italy, the site for next year's World Championships. You know, it's probably a little bit early, a little bit too early to wish for, you know, or even to start planning for. But I mean, how much would winning, or at least putting yourself on the podium, how much would that mean to you in Italy, being Italy is such a staunch and an enthusiastic nation so far as sports is concerned?
No, for sure, Tony. It's that would be amazing. You know, I've been waiting for my moment at the Worlds since a long time. Even like at the last Worlds, I was skiing, probably I was in the best shape ever. And you know, our sport sometimes is not like, I mean, it can be, like, as we said, challenging, not like totally fair. And I was just hit by the glare. I just made a bad choice not wearing like sunglasses because I never done it before. So
yeah,
it was like devastating. It was devastating not getting into that final and like take a shot on that. And of course, that would be amazing, like to get into the final at first in Recetto and maybe do a good score and be on the top. Of course, it's my home side. Because, I mean, it's almost my home site, because even though, like, I've been all over the place, it's the place that I always, like, go back and train, because we have Federation there, so it's kind of a place where they see us, like, they monitor us the way we ski. It's amazing place. It's an amazing place to ski, but it's always not that easy to ski in your home site, for sure.
Of course. I've been to Recetto on a number of occasions, you know, and it is absolutely a top-class venue. So if you are planning a holiday or a vacation sometime in Europe in the first portion of September, please do go to these World Championships. You certainly won't regret it. Brando, what is there to touch upon? I mean, you've been skiing for how many years now?
Wow, Probably at least 20 years.
Yeah. At least 20 years, and this is your first pro. This is your first pro win.
First pro win, yeah.
Okay, so what have the messages been like on your phone right now? I don't know whether you have your phone next to you or whether you can show them, but I'm sure that the likes as Silvia Tranciano and Robbie Zucchi and Candido and Dario are on those messages. So you'll no doubt have a very, very enthusiastic following. So with that in mind, and because I know that you've got to go and get on the road, I'm going to end this edition of the TWBC podcast. Thank you very much for being a participant. Now, one thing I always ask of people before they go is, do you have anything to say with thanks and acknowledgements or that kind of stuff?
No, for sure. Thanks to my dad, my family in general, and the Federation for always like backing me up and helping me like getting here, and also my sponsors that are always delivering like the best equipment for me and best keys. So yeah.
All right then. So that concludes this episode of the TWBC podcast. Apologies for not having Whitney McClintock on this episode. We had her on the previous episode, so I think she'll cut me some slack on that one. She's already down the road. But thank you for Brano Caruso for his win, for his participation, and until next time, it is of course ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.